Well, good morning. Wasn't that fabulous? Let's give another round of thanks to the Bethel Romanian Choir. You guys got such a gifted choir. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Well, tomorrow morning, there will be people everywhere opening gifts. I mentioned a few weeks ago that it's estimated that over 2 billion people in 160 countries plan to celebrate Christmas. Now again, how many of those people are seeking to honor Jesus' birth and understand the true meaning of Christmas? I don't have an answer for you. But let's you and I spend a few moments in preparation to reflect on the gift that God has given us. Folks, the entire reason for our celebration is all about God the Father's prophetic promise. This goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 about the sending of a saving seed who would redeem sinners. We have focused on that word redemption the last couple of weeks, and we learned that it means to buy back or purchase. And we learned how Jesus fulfilled prophetically and also fulfilled the Mosaic law to qualify himself as the Redeemer. The Redeemer who became the literal ransom price in the most costly transaction ever known to man. God the Father giving up his Son to be born of human seed, being fully man yet fully God, for the ultimate purpose of taking on the curse of the cross as the Lamb who would be slain for our sin. Jesus gave up his innocent, sinless life to purchase our sin-stained lives. Folks, Jesus is literally a gift to us, sent from God the Father and given to every single person. Yes, all people are given an invite to embrace the gift of God's Son. Christmas is all about the announcement that the Savior of the world has arrived, and no one is left uninvited or left without the opportunity to take hold of God's free but so costly gift. His only begotten Son provided for you as your Redeemer. Yes, after the sin in the Garden of Eden, God wanted you back. What a testimony of agape love. But there was a major issue. God is perfectly righteous. He is committed to justice. So therefore, his holiness can never mesh with our sin. So God had a plan far in advance to provide his very Son as the solution. Listen to the scriptures, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. In the Bible, we see God's excitement through his prophet Isaiah in sharing about this gift that he was sending us, a gift that would change the world, that would provide salvation for all people who would turn to faith in Jesus. Look with me now to the words of the prophet Isaiah, spoken about 700 years in advance to Jesus' birth. Let's ponder the detail God gave about his Son, our Messiah, the one whom is our redemption, that we will be talking, that we have been talking about the last couple weeks. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God wanted us to know that he had a son that was going to be birthed. This was to fulfill his promise to provide an answer to our sin problem and the separation it rightfully caused between man and our holy Creator God. You know, the entire Old Testament is really the story that a son is coming, and the entire New Testament is the story that his son has indeed come and also will be returning. So there are four important details that God spoke forth in this birth announcement from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You can think of these details as God's four blessings that he has given us in the gift of his son. Let's go through these four gifts. Gift number one, Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor. Now, when you study the word counselor, it literally means marvelous, a cut above. David, who was a king in the Old Testament, used this same word in Psalm 86, verse 10, when he said this, "For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God." David was praising God for being set apart from all others. And in our text here in Isaiah, it means that Jesus is not just any counselor. He's a cut above the rest. He is set apart from any other counselor. Folks, what a blessing, what a gift to behold. Jesus is the best listener. He's never too busy to book an appointment. He will never give out bad or unbiblical advice. He doesn't even charge you for his services. There's no counselor like Jesus. No one who can compare to how wonderful and amazing his help is for our lives. Folks, this gift is so helpful, it's so practical, because let's face it, every one of us has struggles. Every one of us has challenges that we deal with. How wonderful to have God's help, literally, for us. To give us the gift of his available counseling is truly a great gift. The word counselor here means one who advises and resolves. The Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is the gift we need to gain God's advice and resolve all the decisions and challenges we will ever encounter. Jesus is available to be called upon as he will walk right beside you through those storms in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 shares, "The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." It's also interesting to note that the word wonderful is connected to the Hebrew word for miracle. Jesus is the counselor who is available to transform lives in a miraculous way. Forgiveness granted when it's not earned, sins and bad habits overcome, joy being experienced amidst crisis, marriages saved, peace in your soul greater than any inner turmoil or suicidal thoughts, eternal purposes and contentment for your life. Yes, Jesus is a miracle worker. God gave us his son so that we may have all his wonderful, life-changing counsel. Gift number two this morning, Jesus, the Mighty God. In the Gospels, we see Jesus, the Mighty God, in action. He feeds 5,000 with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He calms the storm simply by rebuking the wind and the waves by his words. He sets free the oppressed. He heals the wounded with only one touch. Jesus is indeed the mighty God. You know, we all need to ponder the might of Jesus as we realize that God's power in Jesus is bigger than all of our problems. And at times it can seem as though life is full of problems. Actually, God even guarantees tribulation for people. And it states in the Bible that this is needed refinement for our faith. So it's not a matter of if you will have challenging times. It's more that when you are faced with challenging times. And how quickly it can happen. An upsetting phone call, an unexpected email, a medical diagnosis from a doctor, the loss of a job, turmoil in the family. Our lives will certainly not be void of problems to deal with. Folks, Jesus is the mighty God. There is no hole too big for him. There is no obstacle too great for him. There is no problem too large for him. We have been given the gift of not only a wonderful counselor to guide us, but also the gift of a mighty God who has the answers and abilities needed to help us. Jesus' mighty strength even enables us to be calm in the midst of medical turmoil, to show love in the midst of pain, to say no to sinful living, to walk forward in joy even in the midst of life's many challenges. Jesus is the mighty God who is available to strengthen believers through every single problem they will encounter. He has all you need, and he is the answer we need. The mightiness of God is gifted to us through Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at gift number three. Jesus, the everlasting Father. Notice the word before Father, everlasting. This word is defined as eternal and unceasing in duration. Again, the gift of Jesus wasn't an afterthought in God's plan, nor was Jesus a creation of God. According to the Bible, Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is God. On one occasion in the book of John, some religious leaders started questioning Jesus. They questioned his authority, they questioned his motives, they questioned his origin. Then in John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus responds to them and he says to them, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Now to further understand this, the term "I am" is the very term or name that our Creator God or Yahweh used to describe himself to Moses. Jesus was declaring, "I have existed forever as God." In other words, behold, your Creator God has put on flesh, and he is now walking among you. Jesus is literally God with skin on. Jesus' birth was not the beginning of his existence. It was only the beginning of his time on earth in a human physical body. Jesus is proclaimed in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, as the everlasting Father. He has no beginning, and folks, he has no end. Praise God. He has always existed, and he will always exist. Folks, even Jesus' death on the cross couldn't keep him dead. He rose again as the grave begged to burst forth. Jesus is alive right now. He is everlasting. Well, how then is Jesus as everlasting Father? How is that a gift to us? Well, here's how. To those who put their faith in Jesus, this gift is God's promise of eternally lasting security in Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, which will be our next series starting in a few weeks, we will read in chapter 12, verse 28 to 29, Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Think of that, folks. In Jesus, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot ever, ever be shaken. What a call to worship. God wanted people to know that the life that accepts his gift of Jesus has a rock-solid, eternal future. We are also told in John 3:16 that God, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Praise the Lord. You know, none of us know when our time on earth will end, but the gift of Jesus as the everlasting Father allows us to live this very day with purpose, to approach the day of our death with confidence. The believer's future in Jesus is rock solid. Eternal life is one of God's personal promises to you when you accept the gift of Jesus. He promises that you embrace his son, you accept what he's done for you, that you will be gifted and guaranteed eternal life. Let's also consider the word Father here in our text. It's imperative that we understand that God wants us to know that he desires to adopt us. He wants you and I as his kids, his children. God wants to love on us, to bless us, to protect us, to teach us, to bond with us. All the traits that you would ascribe to great earthly fathers are amazingly found perfectly in Jesus. So don't ever think that God wants a cold master-slave relationship with you. That's certainly not true. He wants an intimate, a loving father-child relationship with you. What a gift it is to be invited to call the King of the universe my Father. Isn't that a wonderful gift? To be able to call God our Creator, you're my dad, you're my Father. How wonderful that is. And that is the gift of Jesus as everlasting Father. And the fourth gift we see is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The word used here for peace literally means captain, master, ruler. In other words, Jesus is the source or captain of peace. And God has offered to give you and I his peace by having Jesus as the captain of our lives. The word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom is such an amazing word, we could literally spend hours here studying the amazing details about it. It includes such blessings as to be well, safe, secure, rested, unified, completed, abundantly fulfilled. Shalom is what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden before there was sin. See, in order to actually even begin to properly understand God's peace or his shalom, we need to first understand that sin is what messed up our peace with God. Our sin caused a break in that fellowship, in that relationship and bonding that God desired with us. God willing, we will be looking much more about sin next Sunday as we look at the ministry of John the Baptist. The Prince of Peace wants to be actively at work in our lives through the practicing of repentance of our sins as we walk out our faith in Jesus. Again, we'll talk more about that next week. But to cut to the chase this morning, the reason Jesus as the Prince of Peace is such an amazing gift is that Jesus came as a baby for the intentional purpose to eventually take on the curse of the cross. Had a young lady here this morning sang a beautiful solo, and she sang that he was slain for your pardon. Praise the Lord. What a powerful moment when she sang that. God provided his only begotten Son to become fully man while still being fully God in order to qualify as the Savior. The goal was always about making peace between you and God possible. Yes, let's embrace and understand this morning that there was no other way to make peace because of our sin. There was no other way. We needed the Savior, the Prince of Peace, to come and to make peace between us and God possible. Jesus would do this by becoming the payment for your sins, and he did do that on the cross. Yes, he is indeed the captain who brought forth God's peace. Folks, as we will partake of communion in a few moments, let's be mindful of this, that Jesus' life was a peace treaty not signed with ink, but with his very blood. Do you hear that? Jesus' life was a peace treaty, not signed like, you know, nation with nation sits down and they go, let's agree to this, let's agree to this, and they pen it out or they type it out. No, that's not the kind of peace treaty we're talking about. The peace treaty we are talking about was signed with the very blood of Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 tells us that Jesus shed his blood, here's the quote, to make peace between man and God possible. Hallelujah. So as we enter now into a time of praise, into a time of communion, let's do so with the tremendous joy that we have been gifted Jesus. What a call to worship. Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Let's stand and let's continue to praise our Lord Jesus.